Okay, welcome everybody. It is Wednesday, November 1, 2017. We're in our series, Believe in Jesus. Believe Jesus. Believe what Jesus believes. Our topic tonight is another challenge to Christ's authority. We have three passages of scripture. Matthew 21, verses 23 to 27. Mark 11, verses 27 to 33. And Luke 20, verses 1 to 8. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus Christ to this earth, Lord. The word made flesh, God incarnate. And God, we thank you for that great graciousness on your part, and for all that he has done in behalf of those for whom he died. And so, Father God, we pray tonight that you would, by your Holy Spirit, guide us into the truth of this word, and Lord, that we would gain even more insight into the mind of Christ, Lord, and how he dealt with his enemies, and so God, we give you this time. We ask that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts to receive, the eyes of our minds to comprehend, and what you have for us tonight. And Lord, let this give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's read Matthew 21, 23 to 27.
Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
Okay, now these accounts are pretty similar. Mark 11, 27 to 33.
Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
And Luke 20, verses 1 to 8.
Now it happened on those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.
Okay, so, going back to Matthew. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority, and it's freedom granted by one in authority, it's a right, by what right do you have? Are you doing these things? So what right do you have to do these things? Maybe by how we would talk today. What gives you the right to do these things? And who gave you this authority? So it sounds okay to ask, but Jesus answers with a question of his own. Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John the Baptist as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So which impressed folks, the power or the authority of Jesus? The Jews questioned Jesus relentlessly about his authority. By what authority and who gave it? They spied on him. They sent pretenders seeming to be sincere. They followed him, pretending to be sincere learners and pretending to accept his words. But mostly they wanted to catch him so they could arrest him and deliver him to the ruling power. And in Greek it's arche, the ruling power. Like, you know, we think of archbishops and stuff like that, so higher up, really high up power, and authority, exousia, of the governor, the power, the authority. Okay, the scribes wanted to expose Jesus as someone unauthorized and in opposition to their way of life, but in fact, Jesus saw many, if not most, of the Jewish religious rulers, chief priests, Pharisees, scribes, and elders as the unauthorized ones, serving in the house of the Lord and in the sight of God. Oh, and then the Romans didn't like new authorities either. They called such things insurrection, and acts or instances of revolting or rebellion against them. The Romans were the civil authority in the established government. The scribes made a religious judgment against Jesus, and also wanted a political judgment against him, because they're going to ask, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They asked that, but Jesus' words shut them up, which comes, I think, a little bit. Then remember that Jesus warned people to beware of the scribes. All right, in Mark we have some added details. Jesus came again to Jerusalem. He was walking in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders came up to him, and the rest is the same. In Luke we have, and it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. And we're going to see that three parables will grow out of the demand of the chief priests and scribes and elders for Jesus to explain what authority he had for cleansing the temple. They saw themselves as the custodians of the spiritual life of the nation. They believed that they had the right to ask this question. And they did. It was their responsibility to investigate anyone who claimed to be sent by God. Sent by God. Let's read Deuteronomy 18. 15-22.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die." Oh, did you say 15?
Deuteronomy 18, 15.
Okay. I'm sorry, I looked at it wrong. I'm reading the right thing. "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him."
Okay. So they did have a responsibility to investigate anyone who claimed to be sent by God. However, these men did not appear to have sincere motives. They were not seeking for truth. They were seeking to entrap. Jesus is at the close of 3 years of public ministry, but they wanted more evidence. But then again, we have to remember, Jesus must be shown to be that lamb without spot or blemish. So God is allowing this. They don't realize it, but all of their investigation and their, interrogation or whatever is going on is really all part of Jesus being examined as the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. He's being checked out. And they're doing this. Their motives are not pure, but nevertheless, God's using that, All right, Jesus exposed their hypocrisy by taking them back to the ministry of John the Baptist. John had prepared the way for Jesus. If the rulers received John's ministry, they should have received Jesus' ministry. But the leaders permitted Herod to arrest John the Baptist and have him killed.
Wow.
They did not accept the authority of John. So that's the point here.
They really didn't back him up, did they?
Because they didn't.
John the Baptist did say what was accurate, and the leaders of Israel should have supported him. I never even thought about that.
They came
that
out
was
there,
great.
And they watched him and all that, and they were standing there and whatever, but they never received his message. But the people did believe him, that he was a true prophet sent by God. But both John and Jesus were sent by God. Look in John chapter 1, you'll find verses where it says, "There was a man sent by God." It's right in the beginning of John 1.
There is John 1:6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John."
Okay, and it goes on. So John 1, it clearly says he was sent from God. So where did his authority come from? John the Baptist. See, was it from heaven or from men? It was from heaven. So this is Jesus exposing the hypocrisy, because they didn't believe John and they killed him. They allowed him to be killed.
Yeah, they didn't back
the
him up.
They didn't have authority to kill anybody. They had to get the Romans to do it somehow, the civil authority. Okay, so John the Baptist is killed because they didn't accept him, they rejected. Okay, and Jesus is also sent by God. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you just read that part, John 1 in the beginning.
"He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made."
Okay, and then in verse 14, I think it is.
It says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him being Jesus, and cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
Okay, so Jesus was sent by God, sent by the Father, and this is Jesus' point. You didn't accept John the Baptist. You had him killed. And I'm not going to answer you by what authority. Now, in a backhanded way, that's actually, I mean, they are rejecting Jesus, but in a backhanded way, if they outright have said, there's a little bit of common grace going on here, and mercy, the way Jesus is dealing with them. A little, you know. All right. Now, a question for us, can we learn new truth if we disobey what truth God has already revealed to us? Can we learn new truth if we disobey what truth God has already revealed to us? Read John 7, verse 17.
If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority.
Okay. A man named F.W. Robertson said, quote, obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. All right, the idea here is that had these religious leaders obeyed John's message of repentance, we might have had a different scenario here, but they did not. They rejected John the Baptist's message, and they just, you know, probably sneered, but the people did not. Religious leaders had rejected the truth revealed by John. Now, did Jesus have an obligation to impart new truth to them? They rejected God the Father. They rejected God the Son. They rejected the Holy Spirit. Jesus posed a dilemma. They didn't ask what was true or what was right. They wanted to play it safe. If they acknowledged that John was sent by God, then they should acknowledge that Jesus was sent by God. If Jesus was sent by God, then why weren't they listening to him? Then they thought about the crowd. They think they reasoned, you know, they had the crowd. To please the crowd, what would the crowd think? How would the crowd react?
Well, that sure hadn't changed today, has it?
No.
We got to get church attendance up. What are we going to do? We got to be careful we don't offend
men
anybody.
Leaders, right.
Yeah, that's
because
that hasn't
the crowd
changed.
Believed John the Baptist to be a true prophet. Okay. Jesus did not refuse to answer their question. He didn't actually refuse to answer their question. What he did was he posed a question to make them think. It was for their benefit. To put them through this little thing, because he knew what was in their hearts and everything, and I don't think this is the first time he does this. This is a thing that Jesus does. In answering questions, he might not directly answer. He might pose a question just to get us to think. It, you know, we may not hear it like that, but circumstances are going to be to get us to think. Okay, this whole thing had been prophesied by Jesus. Read Luke 9, verse 22.
Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day.
All right. So this is the rejection. He had told the disciples in advance. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus had cleansed the temple. See, this goes back to that. Jesus had cleansed the temple and in the process called these religious leaders thieves and the temple a den of robbers. He called them thieves and robbers. Now remember somewhere else he said, you are of your father the devil. You know, he was a liar from the beginning and thief, you know, a thief and comes but to rob, steal,
kill and destroy.
Kill and destroy, right. So basically, he's saying, you know, you're the devil.
But
you are of the devil.
He's actually saying, too, that you're just merciless.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
You're taking, you're a robber, you're a thief, you're just...
Yeah, you're just a murderer, destroyer.
Right. Now let's read Luke 20, verse 17.
He looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Okay, now the word rejected here means to reject after investigation. And it's the same word when Jesus prophesies in Luke 9:22 that they're going to reject him. It's the same word. So after investigating, which they had the right to do, they're going to reject him, and they did. It was required that the Jews examine the Passover lambs carefully from the 10th day to the 14th day. And the passage is, you know, kind of long, but it's in Exodus 12, verses 1 to 6. But they were supposed to examine the Passover lamb. So again, Jesus Christ was watched and tested by his enemies during this final week. In spite of what the religious leaders saw and may have learned, they rejected Jesus after their investigation. All this stuff, but they rejected Jesus. But Jesus was also examining them. He questioned them, and their responses revealed the condition of their hearts, namely hearts with hatred and unbelief and ignorance of truth. Now, we have to remember here that the cleansing of the temple was dramatic, a spectacle. And God's into spectacle. A spectacle capturing the attention of the people while exposing the anger of established religion. Jesus had righteous anger. They were just angry because it was messing up their little deal they had going there, right? Messing them up. But it was dramatic. You watch any movie about the life of Jesus, and when you have the cleansing of the temple scene, you're going to see what, you know, you get a glimpse into what kind of a spectacle it was for him to come in, oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and he shows up, and zeal for his father's house consumes him, and he's knocking over the tables, he's letting the doves go free, he's, you know, the animals, like, he's just, it's gone wild, right? And he's just going after all of it. All right. He went to the temple itself, but here he went to the temple to teach, something which made Jewish leaders indignant. Oh, and he was preaching the gospel.
Oh, how dare he!
Which means, at that point, he's talking about the kingdom of God. You know, his teachings, whatever. What authority do you have to do these things? And if you have authority, who gave it to you? Without authority, we have confusion. Religious leaders claimed their authority from Moses, which they had. The law set the tribe of Levi apart to serve in the sanctuary. The scribes were students of the law. They claimed their authority from the rabbis. They studied their interpretations. The interpretations of the rabbis. So they were always quoting, you know, their authority. We do that today. So-and-so said, you know, someone else said, somebody, we quote their authorities. When you go online, you know, and you're looking at Matthew Henry's commentary or Gill's commentary or Barnes' notes or somebody, those are authorities. And we quote them or we look at them, right? And people have their favorite authorities on the interpretation of the scripture. Well, that's what they did. The scribes studied the interpretations and and they claimed their authority from the rabbis. The elders of Israel led families and clans. They were chosen for their experience and wisdom. Now, this is pretty much true in churches today when they look to see who's going to become a ruling elder or a teaching elder. A ruling elder has to be the kind of person that can make good decisions. They're the decision-making body of a church, and the deacons do usually the groundwork of the church or other things, but they're not the deciding part of the church, making decisions for, policies and whatever like that. Okay, so, and elders are usually chosen for their experience and wisdom, the elders, right? Or they will take someone and train them up to be an elder. You have to go through all kinds of classes and everything to be an elder. Okay, so these leaders were certain of their authority. We have to remember that. They were very certain of their authority, what right they had and where their authority came from. They were not afraid to confront Jesus. It was their duty. They had a duty to do that. They checked everybody out if they came in there. If Jesus had answered and said that he had no authority, he would be in trouble for invading the temple and acting like a prophet. If he said his authority came from God, he would be in trouble with the Romans, because the Romans didn't want competitors and or trouble, especially during Passover. Just to get a sample of that, Acts 5, 34 to 39.
Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the early days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God."
Okay. The leaders wanted Jesus on defense, but Jesus turned the tables on his enemies and put them on defense. First he asked a question. Then we're going to see him give a parable. Finally, he will quote a prophecy, and he will reveal the sins of the nation of Israel. What's interesting is that in Luke, they thought the people would come and stone them if they didn't recognize John the Baptist, how they really felt. People, they would stone him. But Jesus we're going to find out, he's going to answer even that thing about the stoning. The stone. He's going to answer that. Let's see. It's in the end of the Luke part of it. Read that verse again. Where in the Luke thing? I just
Luke 1.
Luke in Luke 19 or where?
1 to 8.
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus.
No.
Luke 19, 1 to 8.
No, that's not our passage.
Okay.
Luke 20. All right. He says, I thought I read the word stone in there.
Yes, it was in Matthew, Mark. It is in this one.
Oh, yeah, verse 6. But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. But Jesus does eventually answer the stone issue. Because in Luke 20, verse 17, he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." In other words, you think it's bad, you thought, reasoned in your hearts that the people will rise up and stone you if you don't say, if you know, for your answer. If they say that John the Baptist was a true prophet, was sent by God, right? And you rejected John the Baptist, what's going to happen? You're rejecting Jesus Christ. He's going to deal with the stone issue.
And he gets them really good right before that, too, about the vine dresser and casting out of the vineyard.
So it's kind of like, people, you're so worried, I mean, religious leaders, you're so worried about the people's response when you should be worried about the response of the Son of God, to whom has been given all authority and the authority to execute judgment. So
they weren't very secure in the position then, too.
Well, they were secure in their authority. They knew they had the right.
But they were afraid that the people.
But they were afraid of the people.
That weren't really that reverent toward them.
Well, they knew they had authority given to them by Moses. And
yeah.
He calls them out on hypocrisy, and he calls them out for the misuse of that authority, and that they're men pleasers. This is no different from, we're going to see it in the writings, you know, the letters and in the rest of the New Testament, about not being men pleasers. You know, there's big warnings about it.
They're trying to please the civil and the people and not God, really, both.
Yeah.
The civil authority.
But they have authority. That's like, there's people in the ministry who've been ordained, they have gone, you know, they've done everything, what? They've been to seminary, they've studied, they've been through all the hoops, you know, to get to ordination or whatever, they get ordained, they have the authority, you know, they're wherever, maybe they've even, because these guys have even moved up in the ranks. They're the religious leaders. So in denominations, that would be the people that have risen up in the ranks. They're not just the ministers of certain churches, but they sit on committees and they sit, and they're maybe even the head of the general synod or the, you know, rise up. Maybe they're the bishop or the archbishop or whatever the system is, the hierarchy, and they've moved on up, right? It's kind of like a religious political system or the religious court system. And they know their authority. They know the authority. But then they also are trying to please the people and go with the flow. Don't we see this in some of the things that denominations are doing?
Yeah.
And even churches, even independent churches, they go with maybe the current culture or what's the latest fad, you know.
Well, there's certain things that are coming up in the church that's going to cause major division because of laws that were passed in not too far back.
Right.
Changes and redefining things that God has set a very specific way that he wanted. And all these issues are going to come to a head, and it's going to be a real dividing point in the church. and people are going to have to decide whether they're going to do what God says or do what man says, and all these things are coming to a head. You can see it in the culture. The culture is doing one thing, and God says another, and there's...
And so that's still whether or not they're going to believe Jesus, believe the Word of God.
Right. It all comes down to that.
Or they're going to reject.
And then there's more and more pressure from different points to go with the culture.
Yes. Yeah. Very costly. I mean, you know. Okay. So, Jesus is going to reveal the sins of the nation of Israel. Jesus is a true prophet. He is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. When confronted by his enemies, he does answer, it just isn't in the expected way. All right, so what does Jesus believe? Number one, Jesus believes in answering his enemies when confronted by them. It just isn't in the expected way all the time. The religious leaders wanted Jesus on defense, but Jesus turned the tables on his enemies and put them on defense. First, he asked a question. Then we will see him give a parable. Finally, he will quote a prophecy. He will reveal the sins of the nation of Israel. Number two, Jesus believes in exposing error. He had cleansed the temple and called religious leaders thieves and robbers. They have a right by Mosaic law and responsibility to investigate anyone who claimed to be sent by God. That's the Deuteronomy 18 passage. Likewise, it was required that the Jews examine the Passover lambs carefully from the 10th day to the 14th day, and that's in Exodus 12. Number three, Jesus believes in logical consistency. When asked by what authority he did these things, such as teach the people in the temple and preach the gospel and also cleanse the temple, and who gave him this authority, Jesus asked them a question. The baptism of John the Baptist, whence was it, from heaven or of man? Without authority, we have confusion. The religious leaders claim their authority from Moses. The law set the tribe of Levi apart to serve in the sanctuary. The scribes were students of the law. They claimed their authority from the rabbis. They studied their interpretations. The elders of Israel led families and clans. They were chosen for their experience and wisdom. These leaders were certain of their authority, what right they had, and where their authority came from. They were not afraid to confront Jesus. It was their duty. If Jesus has answered and said that he had no authority, he would be in trouble for invading the temple and acting like a prophet. If he said his authority came from God, he would be in trouble with the Romans. The Romans didn't want competitors and/or trouble, especially during Passover. Okay, Jesus wasn't afraid of any of that, but the timing, see, the timing, we're on a timetable here. Everything has to be at the right time. Number four, Jesus believes in exposing hypocrisy. The religious leaders had rejected the truth revealed by John, so Jesus had no obligation to impart new truth to them. They rejected God the Father, they rejected God the Son, they rejected the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want to reiterate, that is a point for us. If we reject the truth that has been revealed to us, Jesus really has no obligation to go beyond that, to impart new truth to us. We get shelved, as I call it. We can get put on the shelf and stagnate. So we have to really pray that we are obeying the truth that God has revealed to us. And that's going to really take the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do that. There's always more. There's always more truth to be revealed.
Well, because there's so much of the Bible that we don't understand, so it's... And then, like, you see what John left in the book of Revelation. Like, God can do all kinds of great unspeakable things, because there was stuff Paul said he heard that he wasn't even able to say out loud or write in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to grow up to handle those things in the Lord. And then you think about the transfiguration and Jesus revealing himself in his majesty. There's so much more. I mean, the opportunities there is the point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity there. And then also, like, the picture of being in the water at ankle and knee and high, and then being up, in, up to your waist and then in over your head, that's another excellent picture of how much of the anointing you can handle. And then we have many different people's life story left behind where it showed that, you know, God did get them there.
Yeah.
So there's hope for everybody. That's how I look
at
it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So Jesus posed a dilemma. If they acknowledged that John was sent by God, then they should acknowledge that Jesus was sent by God. If Jesus was sent by God, then why weren't they listening to him? Then they thought about the crowd to please the crowd. What would the crowd think? How would the crowd react? Number 5, Jesus believes he was sent by God just as John was sent by God to go and prepare the way for Jesus. If the rulers received John's ministry, they should have received Jesus' ministry. But the leaders permitted Herod to arrest John and have him killed. They did not accept the authority of John. Both John and Jesus were sent by God. John 1. Number 6, Jesus believes in exposing hearts to the truth. Jesus was also examining them. He questioned them, and their responses revealed the condition of their hearts, namely hearts with hatred and unbelief and ignorance of truth. These men did not have sincere motives. They were not seeking for truth. They were seeking to entrap. Jesus did not answer by what authority he did these things. Their rejection of him and their lack of obeying what truth had been revealed blocked the revealing of any further truth. Number 7, Jesus believes he is the true prophet, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This whole thing had been prophesied by Jesus, Luke 9, verse 22, and now was being fulfilled just as he said. Amen.
Amen.